This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Screens in medical waiting rooms is one of the most well-established kinds of digital out-of-home media out there, and there's been no end of companies that develop networks built around advertising-supported content. That's now happening in the U.S. with medical cannabis. Through a pair of signage industry vets who've applied what they learned in mainstream medical centers to clinics focused on cannabis as an alternative to things like opioid medications. Kim Cerubi has been working with Phil Cohen on medical center content for a quarter century now, and she answered Cohen's call when he said he was getting back into waiting rooms aimed at the emerging cannabis market. They're already through this network in roughly 1,000 clinics with a screen, media player, and custom created content that's designed to educate patients about the potential benefits of cannabis for battling things like PTSD or easing the pain or effects of cancer, epilepsy, or other diseases. I spoke with Cerubi about the challenges of operating in a still emerging industry in a market where the rules can vary, the products get looked at with raised eyebrows, and the snake oil crowd can easily intermingle with the makers of much more proven and established products and treatments. So, Kim, let's talk cannabis.
Yes.
Do you ship by mail?
I'm sorry?
Do you ship by mail?
No. We, you know, it's funny. I've actually never stepped into a dispensary at all or a medical office. I'm in Tennessee. It's not legal here. And so, you know, I don't get to sample, I guess is the way to put it.
Oh, well. Yeah, it's I'm up in Canada, and you know, as of a couple of months ago, it's now legal here, and it's very odd to walk into my provincially operated liquor store, and yeah. In certain branches, you can walk to the back, and there's you go around a corner, and they have a cannabis counter. It's an adjustment.
It's surreal. Mentally. It is. I just got back from Amsterdam, and it is kind of, you know, just walking around Amsterdam, people just everywhere with it. And it's an interesting time.
So you've got the Cannabis Health Network. This is something that you're doing with Phil Cohen. Yep. Phil Cohen runs the thing, and you and Phil have worked together for what, 20 years?
Over 25 now. Yeah.
Wow.
Long time. Yeah.
And this grew out of the experience that you've had going way back in the day doing, let's say, more conventional medical clinics with a digital out-of-home model?
Yeah. And our bread and butter was always medical. We had the Women's Health Care Network, Kid Care, which was in pediatric, and then Pet Care, which was in veterinarian offices. So, and Women's Health Care was in OBGYN. So this is something, this was in thousands and thousands of offices, something we've been doing for a very long time in the medical space, waiting rooms of these doctors.
And did that go away? I'm trying to remember. Did the network sell?
No, it was purchased by Chris. Now I'm going to forget the name of his company. I forget the name of his company, but the whole company was purchased by another company.
All right. So then it's just been in the last couple of years, I'm thinking, when the Cannabis Medical Network has kind of bubbled up.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things. Phil sold off the other networks and semi-retired. And then this opportunity came up and cannabis just got hot. And people started reaching out to him going, you know, is this something you've had the digital out of home? Is this something we should be looking at? And his investors and his original company and everything. So they started putting together a business plan and, you know, couple of years later, here we are with this network. And of course, he reached out to me and said, hey, let's do this. So I as always, I'm in.
You don't really have a choice, do you?
I don't.
So the business model is what?
It's the same model as we had in all the other networks. We did dabble in dispensaries for a little bit, but we realized that we're really, really focused on education. And people, you know, we laugh about cannabis and we make jokes, but ultimately, if you were to see this content, and that's where Phil has always been at his best, it's educating people in how cannabis can help them. And that's not really the place in a dispensary. This is for a medical office. People walk in, they have chronic pain, you know, everything from the pain of, you know, doing the radiation for cancer and children and PTSD and everything from HIV AIDS, you know, and on. And it just goes on and on of all the remedies. And this goes back for thousands of years. Somewhere along the line, I won't get into a history lesson, but cannabis was used for lots of ailments. So it's really bringing back that education piece in the medical offices so that maybe some of the stigma around cannabis can go away.
And the way this manifests itself is there's a screen in a waiting room, basically.
Correct. So again, just like our other networks, screen in the waiting room, and this is an ad-supported network. Mm-hmm. And what's great about, you know, our ad supported networks that are very different from many out of home networks is we're really highly targeted, right? So if you're trying to reach people who are looking at cannabis in a medical office, this is who you're going to reach. This isn't like walking a mall or, you know, where you have a more general audience. We offer a very targeted audience.
And is it just the one screen?
It depends, because some of these offices have requested to some of these companies we're working with, they're huge medical, I don't know what they're calling themselves, but they have over, you know, 800 locations. They're like conglomerates of medical, and they all, there's several of them out there. And so we're actually talking to some of them about having on demand in the actual exam room, having several screens in the waiting room because the waiting rooms are so big. It's a lot of money in cannabis right now. And one screen is doesn't cut it in all locations. So we do take it, you know, case by case.
Right. So these are specialty offices that have cannabis as the central part of their practice, or are they GP offices?
No, it's so basically, like one of the ones we work with is compassionate care centers. Mm-hmm. And doctors of all different, you know, specialties can become a certified CCC provider. And then they come into this group and provide it. So, you know, these are large clinics that are now going to provide cannabis as part of their treatment.
Okay. So you put the screens in for free. You sell advertising on it. There's some sort of a rev share. Kind of
no,
the usual.
We never do a rev share. No.
Oh, okay. So the attraction is we're putting in a screen in your waiting room that's going to educate your patients.
Right. Educate, lessen the perceived wait time, you know, all the usual digital out of home buzzwords we use, but for us, it's really about the education process. And in some cases, some of these clinics do sell things like CBD oil. So mm-hmm. very much like, you know, in the veterinarian offices, the vets were their own pharmacy. They sold different products, so they could sell dog food, cat food. So people are in those waiting rooms and there could be an advertisement for dog food and then they could actually buy it there. So we're seeing some of that as well, but we do not split the advertising dollars.
Okay. Are there, I mean, when you're into pet care or regular patient care, if you want to call it regular. You've got national brands, you've got big pharma, you've got big food processing companies and so on. On the cannabis side, for the most part, these are, I would say, by and large, startup companies, are they not? So they don't really have the same kinds of marketing budgets?
You know, it's funny because we were seeing that originally, but now we're seeing several companies are getting bought up by larger people with money who just want to get into cannabis some way, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I probably shouldn't, well, I'll give you an example. There's companies out there like Magic Butter, which I had never heard of, and they have a good marketing budget. And we're seeing more and more companies come along that are solid and have the money and are being bought up by larger companies to have those marketing dollars.
I would imagine there's something of a gold rush mentality around this, that for all those companies that have been doing this for years and years, there's all these other ones that are just jumping into this because they see dollars.
Well, you're seeing it now with Bayer and Monsanto. I always say that name wrong, but
Monsanto.
It's or I could call them what I want. No, Monsanto and Bayer. They're all getting involved now, and you know, this is, I think, with Canada going the way of just legalizing it all. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see the U.S. start to lean towards maybe a more national, federal laws coming down. And so I think everybody's kind of anticipating that. And you're seeing a lot more companies that, you know, like you said, that are national brands starting to jump in. I mean, even there was a coffee maker that was it Nespresso or somebody was going to do an infused coffee. And you're starting to see this.
Because you've got different rules state by state. You were mentioning before we started that you guys were dabbling in dispensaries, but you got out just because of the levels of complications. I gather if you want to be in dispensaries, it's state by state. And of course, not all states are legal.
Correct. So obviously, even the people who are in dispensaries, and we're still in some, we're only doing in states where it's legal, but then each state has different laws. And so you have to know what you can and can't do, whether it's with advertising or even education. There's laws around it depending on the state. So it becomes quite confusing and hard to manage.
And it's also an increasingly crowded market, is it not, in terms of the various providers who have digital menu boards and so on?
Right. I mean, menu boards are one thing but that's not what we do. And, you know, of course, a menu board's not illegal, but, you know, and a lot of them are tying into the back end systems. And so they could have real time what they have left in inventory and all that. But, you know, ultimately, that's not our core business. We've always been in the education business. Mm-hmm. So it really just wasn't something that made sense for us.
Is it easier when you're just in the medical clinics in terms of what you can say in Colorado is also what you can say in a state that doesn't have legal recreation, but does have it for medicinal uses?
That is correct. So, and this even went back to the medical networks before. The doctor is allowed, and Phil always says this better than I am, the doctor can tell a patient, this is what I suggest you do. And they're covered by law always for that. And so by putting in these education segments, you know, at the end, we have always said, ask your healthcare provider, right? Or ask your doctor. So we can, and some doctors push back on some of the things we say. And that's why whenever we write a script, we have several doctors that give their input because, you know, one doctor might lean one way on an issue and one leans completely the other way. So we always try to say middle of the road and at the end always say, ask your doctor and just give facts. We've always done that. So that's how we kind of stay along that line. But it is up to the doctor on how they kind of push a patient in a certain direction and mm-hmm. covered by law always.
It must be challenging to develop content when you have products, or I don't know if you call it product, but whatever you call CBD, has been applied as a, or touted as a cure-all for damn near everything. And the science doesn't necessarily bear that out. Certainly, it's been well proven for certain things. But I mean, God, I was reading something in the New York Times that, you know, that you're seeing CBD applied to everything in the same way that tech companies try to throw AI into every conversation.
Right. And obviously, lots more research has to be done on the effectiveness of CBD and THC on many different things. But if you look at our playlist, we'd never do a segment on CBD oil. We're doing segments on specific things like cancer, PTSD, muscle spasms, nausea, those things. And we talk about whatever that is, and then we say, this can be, and there are some studies that have shown. However, more needs to be done. Ask your doctor, right? And the other issue is this. Say, right now, you go to a doctor, a regular MD, you have pain. What do they prescribe? An opiate, right? We have this opioid addiction going on. Here you have something, and I lean definitely more towards things that CBD is not going to kill you, right? You're not going to end up with this addiction. And so I think that's really the message. And this is, again, this is me putting my personal opinion into all of this, which we do not do on the screen, but, you know, we're saying, hey, try this first. If you have chronic pain, I would love for all these doctors to be prescribing CBD first instead of an opiate. So that's my personal opinion. But we do stay middle of the road and let the doctor really ultimately decide what they're going to push.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Is that treading the walk in the middle of the road because of regulatory requirements, or is it just based on experience?
It's based on experience and not upsetting the doctor, right? So, you know, if we go early on, I remember this, and it's over 20 years ago, and we were in vet offices. And if you made mention of one brand over another, whether it was, you know, a pharmaceutical or even a dog food, right? We would get calls immediately. I don't rep that brand. And you just said that brand in my office. And now these people are saying, well, why can't I have Purina? And I offer Science Diet. And, you know, we would always say, well, now that here's your opportunity to say why Science Diet is better than, or Purina is better than, right? But at least they're talking to you about it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so we just learned over the years to stay more middle of the road. And then we don't get as many calls.
So then the attraction to the physician is if they have a more educated patient coming in to see them, you know, coming in from the waiting room, it might trim a couple of minutes off of their patient visit because
I know that the healthcare system's different in Canada, but you know, I'll tell you that you only have a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. People come in, they're only telling you 20% of things that, you know, you don't even know what other prescription sometimes they're taking. You don't know some of the other ailments. And so doctors are really throwing a dart. So by coming in educated from a reliable source, not something they looked up, they Googled, and they're going, oh my God, I think I'm dying because, right? It just helps everybody all around. And so if I come in and I say, oh, I just saw the segment on, and is that what I should be doing? And how about this? The doctor can give a better prognosis. They could help everybody. It's just, it helps everybody. It helps the doctor, helps the patient. So yeah, more educated. And that's true for anything. You know, the more educated you are, the better it is for everyone.
Is this, are these medical centers in every state or just in a percentage?
No, we're only legal in, it's only legal in 17 states, medical.
Okay. Yeah.
So as of right now, it's always changing, and I could be wrong on that number, but it's, you know, it's, there's only a few that are recreational, and then, you know, then the rest are medical right now. And actually, you know, CBD oil is legal everywhere.
If it comes from hemp, right?
Yeah. And you know, what's so funny is that, and I actually don't know exactly what it has to come from for it to be legal, but I do know that this police here in Tennessee raided two locations not too long ago for selling CBD oil and took it all. And in the press conference, they said, to the guy who was talking, a reporter said, you do know CBD is legal. And he just blank and said, well, then I'll have to look into that. But here they raid these locations, take all their CBD oil, shut them down, and then have a press conference on it and didn't even know it was legal. So there has to be an education process just so people understand what is legal and not.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
So the therefore, like if you've hit only a third of the available states, and that maybe not a third of the population, maybe it's even less, I guess the addressable market for this is pretty substantial.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's the only way to go is up from here, and the potential is pretty staggering. So, you know, it's kind of we've got our foot in the door and we're slowly, you know, growing. And, you know, it's always, how are the laws changing? What's going on? But once you start getting companies like Monsanto and Bayer interested, I'm sure the lobbyists are going to come out of the woodwork and things will start to move a little faster.
You have investors. Has it been a challenge to get them involved because it is a moving target?
No, that really hasn't been the challenge. It's really, I think investors are trying to figure out where they want to invest because there's so many opportunities in cannabis. Do you want to be part of a grow? Do you want to be part of a dispensary? Do you want to open? And these things are not easy to get, but they are immediate, you know, gold mines, immediate. So, you know, there's a whole process. Each state has a different process on how you can apply for these licenses and all that. So it's just really, I think investors are going, okay, where is the money or how can I get my money involved in cannabis and do it in a smart way? So it's so new. I think that's really the biggest issue.
And I would imagine being on the media side is, all things considered, relatively safe compared to being a dispensary, being a physician, being a producer.
Exactly.
You don't have the risks around quality or adverse side effects or anything else. You're just saying, hey, ask your doctor.
Right. Exactly. And so I think that's why, you know, some of the people that help raise money for us, that is part of their pitch. They're saying, you know, there's nothing you have to worry about on this side. There isn't a regulation that's going to come in tomorrow and go, oh, I can't even sell all of that I just created. Or, you know, we've done this before, we've done it in other medical, so you really have no risk.
There is, though, a fairly curious political climate in the U.S. these days, and it could, in theory, go either way, in that I'm sure the prevailing point of view is
more and more states are going to legalize at least the medical side of this and probably the recreational side. But it is federal. It's federal laws. And in theory, it could all be shut down, right?
That is correct. They could come in and say, we're shutting this down. These states who have already legalized it, it's almost like they're flipping them off, going, I don't really care what you say federally. Yeah. I'm going to do this, and some states have come straight out and say, well, we'll fight the federal government on it. So it gets a little sticky. And I think at this point, the federal government's going, if you looked at how people voted in the last election, marijuana, cannabis was one of the things that across the board, didn't matter which party you were aligned with, was overwhelming. People wanted it. So the population has said, yes, we want this. And so you have the people behind it. And now, like I said, that you're having the larger corporations behind it with lots of money behind it. That seems to always get government officials motivated.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's a little bit of a challenge in that the two kind of activities are somewhat blurred together when maybe they shouldn't be in that. People who are using CBD for pain, because they have cancer and everything else, they're wildly different from a 22-year-old bunch of guys who are, smoking recreationally and have no medical concerns.
Right. And I think that really, because even here in Tennessee, I was helping a couple people try and push through some legislation here. And ultimately, the senator pulled the bill just because it got too muddied and it just wouldn't have helped the people it needed to help. And what we were saying here is, we're trying to really stay away from that image of the 22-year-old who just wants to get high, mm-hmm. because it does muddy it up. We're saying, look, there are so many benefits for people. You look at people who have PTSD or children who have cancer, and that's really who we're going, this is what it's needed for. And let's focus on that. And medical is way different than recreation. People could fly to Colorado if they want to fly to Colorado, right? But then you get also into the laws of people who do get arrested with it. And I think here in Tennessee, and as in most states, people are going, the police at this point are going, we're really looking the other way. We're not going to, even though it's classified as, it's classified worse than cocaine in Tennessee, which mm-hmm. you're going, what? So the laws need to change. But in the meantime, I think we're slowly seeing that people are coming around, including the police.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything about the way that you're doing it in waiting rooms for this that differs at all from what you've done in the past in pet care centers, in conventional medical care centers, and so on, in terms of the duration of content, the content approach, or is this kind of the sum of what you've learned through the years?
It's exactly everything we've done from what we've learned over the years. It's no different. It is in a medical office, people are there for treatment, learning the best way they could treat these ailments. That's it. There's nothing different than what we've done in the past.
And is there a secret sauce here in terms of the average spot in that kind of a weight room environment, even though they're there for 10, 20, 30 minutes, is 30 seconds? Or what are those things that people... That
you
you've learned
to
over
give
the years.
You the secret sauce.
Exactly. And then I'll publish it.
Well, it really depends on the waiting room. So we do test, back in the day we used Arbitron, then it was Nielsen. And now there's many other ways that you could test the environment, see what the waiting time is. And that's really where it comes down. What is the waiting time in these clinics? And then you do an average, and then the segments, range from 2 to 3 minutes. And then how long the playlist is just the formula of how long people are waiting. So
right.
It's the same formula. We plug in just the numbers we're getting based on our research for these locations.
And it, it doesn't really matter in terms of length or anything? Like those 2 to 3 minutes is what works?
Well, that's per segment. The length of, you don't want to really go over that. People lose interest. Mm-hmm. So it's creating a segment that, you know, gets all the information across, but isn't too long. I mean, you have the same thing on the web, right? There's a magic number when you're watching something on the web. After, I think it's a minute something, people stop watching. Mm-hmm. So we have found that that's the secret number for our segments as well. And then really comes into the playlist is how many hours is a location open and how frequently are people coming in and all of that. So that's how we come up with the length of the playlist.
Do you compete with mobile?
We've been asked that so frequently, and it's really like, look, I don't think we compete with mobile. I think, or mobile, that's how you say it in Canada. How do we say it here? Mobile?
Smartphones.
Smartphones, yeah. You know, yeah, occasionally people are going to come in, and there are ways to interact with the screen and the phone at the same time. But what we have found through our testing is it actually, by trying to engage people with their mobile phone and the screen, we get the actual recall goes down. So we're still getting like 80% recall of these people walking in. And again, that's something we test. Did they see the ad? What did they learn? 80% recall is awesome. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anybody. So do we compete with mobile? Yeah, some people are going to come in and look at their phone. But if you're still getting 80% recall, that's great.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if people want to find out more about this and they're running a clinic and they want to get involved, where do they find you guys?
CMNHI.com, or you could just look up Cannabis Medical Network and sign up. I mean, it's free for these medical offices to sign up. So the information's right on the website.
How many are you in now?
We're in just under 1,000, and we have a significant waiting list. So, okay. You know, it's just getting the funding in to get in as many doctor's offices as we can, as fast as we can. I mean, it's not like people don't want this in their office. They do. It's just keeping up with the demand. And that's why when I said on our panel the other day, you need a shit ton of money because, you know, just the cost of putting it in and then maintaining it, it's not a cheap undertaking for sure, but, you know, it's definitely worth it.
There's something there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.